For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Jets have fired their general manager, Joe Douglas.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I feel like that Seinfeld episode where I am without speech. I have no speech. Who fires a general manager in between weeks 11 and 12? Like fans are going to be happy to see that head on a pike. Honestly.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Mike Hill. Earlier on the show, senior columnist for The Athletic, Jason Lloyd. Fox Sports College Football Insider, Bruce Feldman. Coming up, comedian Tony Rock. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Mike Hill.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're far too kind. Hanging out with my crew, my peoples. I love them to death, man. Like I said, I love being here with you guys on The Rich Eisen Show. Mike Hill, hanging out for the great Rich Eisen at the Granger desk. Brockman's in the house. There are two folks in the house. TJ's in the house. I'm here, too, as well. We're going to get to my most disappointing teams in the NFL very, very, very shortly, man. Real quickly, though, Juan Soto, I'm going to let you know right now. I heard you guys talking about it at the end of yesterday's show.
Yeah, Juan Soto, meeting with the Dodgers yesterday.
Get your money. I understand that. You're going to get $600 million, $700 million. I get that. Make all the money you can, bro. Let you know right now. And appreciate you as a Yankee fan for doing what you did. One of the top seasons ever in Yankee history. Great 1-2 combination with Aaron Judge. You finishing the top three this year in the MVP voting. Juan Soto, thank you from the bottom of my heart. But I know you're not coming back to the Yankees. I know you're not. But Juan Soto, if you go to the Dodgers, or if you go to the Boston Red Sox, I'm forever done with you.
Pay that man his money.
I'm forever done with you. I don't care how much money you're making, Juan Soto. Your little slide, you can slide your own out of here. Slide on up out of New York. You ain't welcome back in the Bronx no more. Now, if you want to come on back, I love you to death. Yeah. I'm sorry. We love you to death. Don't get me wrong. We're going to get it done. You and Aaron Judge are going to finally get it done. We're going to add some additions and stuff like that. You know, you'll maybe get a little discount. I know you're a mercenary. You want to get that money. But if you go to the Dodgers, the team that just beat the Yankees in the World Series, still, that's still a rivalry to me as a Yankee fan. And if you go to the Red Sox, ooh, I don't even want to hear your name again. Ever, ever again. You can go to the Mets.
Let's go.
Because you go to the Mets, we're going to get Pete Alonso.
Stop it.
We're going to get Pete Alonso.
How you figure?
We're going to get Pete Alonso. Because we got the money.
You ain't got more money than Cousin Stevie?
No, we're going to have the money. We're going to get Pete Alonso.
You ain't got no more than Cousin Stevie,
If y'all take Soto, we're going to get Alonso. We need the first baseman.
Do you know Steve Cohen's net worth?
Yeah, I know.
In the B's?
I'm looking under my mattress.
Even Soto can go to the Mets. It ain't going to matter. It's not going to matter. Y'all had a great roster 2 years ago. Then y'all have like an all MLB roster a couple of years ago.
No.
What y'all do with it? What y'all do with it?
We were supposed to be a last place team this season.
No, not this season. Going into the season.
Don't bring
no.
up old stuff. Talk about the present.
I'm talking about a couple of seasons ago.
Talk about y'all right had it now, Mike.
This is when y'all had the great pitchers and all that. Yeah. How'd that work out for you? Once again, go back to ownership. Sometimes it's about a culture, man. Sometimes you're just perennial losers, no matter what you bring in, what kind of players you bring in. That's why it's important. Once again, that's why it's important, no matter how great a talent is, like a Caleb Williams. Great talents can be destroyed going to the wrong situation, going to the wrong coaching staff, going to the wrong organization. How many times have you seen, like even the Jets these days? Jets can have a good, you know, they fired the general manager yesterday, fired the head coach, whatever, bringing Aaron Rodgers doesn't make a difference because the culture is not good there.
How many times have we seen guys who thought we were a bust with the Jets going to have better seasons somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that a lot of times because of the culture. Sometimes you just put in the wrong situation. So sometimes I think we give up on players too often, especially quarterbacks, especially rookie quarterbacks. I'm glad some of y'all don't throw your kids away quicker than you throw your NFL quarterbacks away. You really do. You're like, you just see there's no patience for rookie quarterbacks in the league.
No,
everybody's not going to have a C.J. Stroud type season last year. And by the way, C.J. Stroud is kind of regressing this year.
A little bit.
In his sophomore year. I mean, the Texans are struggling a little bit. I mean, they won the other night. But C.J. Stroud's not having the season he had last year. Sometimes it takes time. Before we crown him, give me some time with him. Before we throw away, give me some time with him. I want to see Bryce Young in a different situation. I just want to see it. He's starting to, you know, he sat down sometimes. And sometimes you got to be in a situation where you actually sit behind a veteran quarterback. Veteran leadership that's going to teach you, that's going to help you along the way with a good head coach or a good offense coordinator so you can learn. That's why I keep saying, I said it on the show, Michael Penix, when he finally gets his opportunity, Michael Penix is going to be the best quarterback drafted in this year's draft.
We saw it last week with Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson sat down.
Sat out for a couple games, mm-hmm. watched Joe Flacco, you know, struggle. But, you know, he kind of reset a little bit, had his best game of his career.
Yep.
Beating the Jets last week.
Bo Nix sat. Looking good. Your guy sat. What's he doing?
Looks great.
Sometimes you just got to sit down and understand. And something, there's nothing wrong with being benched. There's benching and giving up on somebody, yeah. right? I think the Carolina Panthers kind of gave up on Bryce. And if it wasn't for the injury.
Andy Dalton got a car accident.
Andy Dalton quarterback, yeah. car accident.
Yeah.
We might not have seen Bryce Young back playing football this year with the Carolina Panthers. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes he had to sit to understand, and you have to have the right mindset. That's why I like Bryce, because he's a smart guy. Right mindset. It might not be a bad idea for the Bears, even though he was the number one pick in the draft, and high expectations this year, to sit Caleb for just a little while.
Hmm.
Just sit him. I know you're still in the mix, but you're in a tough division. You're not going to the playoffs this year, right? Sit him for a second. Just let him just understand the speed of the game.
I think in that situation, though, it's a little bit different. It's one thing to sit if they had Andy Dalton. Well, they had him. They still have him, or Joe Flacco or something. But Bajan's only a year or two older than him.
But Bajan was a good quarterback. Bajan wasn't a bad quarterback. I think Bajan going somewhere in the right situation would be a serviceable quarterback. Bajan had success last year with the Chicago Bears.
True.
Bajan got that mindset. He got the confidence. He got the swagger. He's a good quarterback. He can learn something from Bajan. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Like, Patrick Mahomes, learn from Alex Smith. Sit down, man. Sometimes we just throw these guys in the mix, and the reason we throw them in the mix is because, well, and they're on rookie salaries. So it's not
That's why, too. It's accelerated the pressure to succeed because you have this tight window to build around him. Just look at San Francisco. I mean, they got Brock Purdy on the greatest deal ever, but that's up after this year. Yeah, they're going to have to pay him big bucks.
Are they going to pay him big bucks?
Well,
does he deserve the big bucks? I don't know. That's still up in the air. But when it comes to Caleb Williams now, like, they changed offensive coordinators. They're probably going to get rid of the head coach next year or whatever. So they got the new head coordinator in there, Thomas Brown, who's a very well-respected offensive coordinator. And even though they lost their fourth in a row, here's what Caleb had to say about his new offensive coordinator, Thomas Brown.
We didn't reinvent the wheel for those 3 or 4 days that you know, Thomas became the office coordinator and play caller. I think the decisiveness, I think all of that came from our meetings and how we're going to do things. I think it came from being able to get play calls in faster and being able to get up there and not feel like you're rushed or not feel like you need to hurry up and get the ball snapped. No, they didn't. It didn't. Simplify the offense. I think it's still the same.
All right, and the Bears looked a little bit better. I mean, you know, they looked a little bit better. They were a blocked field goal away from actually, you know, ending that streak. You know, but it didn't happen.
Yep.
Bears haven't scored more than 19 points in the last 4 games during this losing streak. That's why they're one of the more disappointing teams in the National Football League this year. Which brings me to my top 5. Disappointing teams in the National Football League this year. Not just because of records, but because of the expectations. Oh, look at that.
High five.
One, two, three, four, and five.
Mike's
top five.
Let's go.
Yeah, I like that graphic, baby. That's how I actually look under this sweater, too, man. I don't know if y'all know that or not, man. My abs are, I got about four abs, and two of them, you know, anyway. At number five, the San Francisco 49ers. Ooh. Disappointing season. Injuries have taken a toll, obviously. Once again, it's Brock Purdy, the guy. Brock Purdy's a serviceable quarterback, but Brock Purdy is not a great or iconic quarterback. Brock Purdy needs people around him to be a really good quarterback. The Ayuk contract situation early in the season may have hurt him, and now he's out for the season. Just got McCaffrey back, but is it too little too late? And once again, the last time I was on the show, I told you. I said if McCaffrey doesn't come back and he's effective, the San Francisco 49ers were not going to make the playoffs this year. And they have a very hard schedule to end the season. Once again, the San Francisco 49ers have not beaten a team this year, even though they've won five games, over 500. Their wins against the Jets, the Pats, the Seahawks, the Cowboys, and the Bucks, and they just lost to the Seahawks the other day. So at number five, the San Francisco 49ers, my fifth most disappointing team in the NFL this year. At number four, the Chicago Bears. 4-6 on the season. Expectations super high. You draft Caleb Williams. You get Rome Odunze. You get playmakers. You get Keenan Allen to come in there. You're thinking the offense is going to take that next step. You think the way they finished the season last year with guys like Bajan in there at quarterback, made a run at the end of the season. You think this is the season. Hard Knocks is there. Everybody's hyped up for the Chicago Bears team. You got a phenomenal defense. They're still playing great. You still got a top 10 defense in the National Football League, 7th in scoring wise, but you're just 4-6 on the season because you can't get it together and Caleb Williams isn't having the season that you thought he was going to have. Once again, we talked about them firing their offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, bringing in Thomas Brown. We'll see how they end the season, but they've lost 4 in a row after a promising 4-2 start. So because the expectations were so high with the Chicago Bears, they are my fourth most disappointing team in the National Football League so far this season. Number three, the M-E-S-S mess.
Only number three. Wow.
Because they are the M-E-S-S mess. I'm not disappointed because they're always disappointing.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you had some expectations, but you were relying on a 40-some-year-old quarterback to come back off an Achilles injury. I've torn my Achilles twice. I don't play in the National Football League.
Really?
But it's hard to just walk coming back, man. I'm still having issues, and the last time I tore my Achilles was 11 years ago. I still have issues. So you expect a man who's a little mobile back in the day. And Aaron Rodgers was MVP 3-4 years ago. Don't get me wrong. So he still has some game. But you put everything, you bank everything on this guy. Aaron Rodgers, just like if you talk about LeBron James and what the power he has when it comes to the Lakers and other teams, the same blame goes to Aaron Rodgers for what he brought in. We get Davante Adams. They fired a head coach. Now they fired the general manager. They demote Hackett, his offensive coordinator. Aaron Rodgers is not playing for the New York Jets after the season. And then Donald Rossini comes out. Great article in the Athletics. Woody Johnson, once again, tried to bench Aaron Johnson after four games.
That's crazy.
What? Then you fire your head coach and you've gone, 1-5 since then? It's not him. It's not the head coach. Once again, the organization, Woody Johnson, the Jets. And the only reason they're at number three is because my expectations weren't that high in the beginning. Not that high.
And a lot of people had them in the Super Bowl.
A lot, but that's just nostalgia.
Yeah. Who are these people?
Who are these people?
Peter Schrager.
Yeah. Okay. Peter Schrager had them in the Super Bowl? Come on, Pete. Come on, man. Everybody has a cold take every now and then. But yeah, the Jets at number three. At number two, the Dallas Cowboys. Whew. How about them Cowboys? This brings me a lot of joy. A lot of glee.
A tell hater.
It is. I'm a hater. But I'm an admitted hater.
How about them Cowboys?
That's what I'm talking about. I'm an admitted hater, TJ. You know why? And it's not just because Stephen A. Smith and all of it. It is but part of the fans, man. Y'all just make it hard to like the Cowboys. You make it so hard to like the Cowboys.
Full disclosure, these fans he's speaking about or his brother and his cousin. That sounds like a family matter to me. That's personal. That's family issue. It ain't got nothing to do with me.
TJ, you one of the good ones.
TJ, you are TJ.
I'm not talking about TJ. TJ doesn't count. He's one of the good ones.
One of the good ones? Whoa, wait a second now. What does that mean?
You're one of the good ones, CJ. But 3-7, you paid Dak, you paid CD, and you still ain't getting anything done on offense. You got no running game. You can't stop the run. Your offense, your defense can't stop a cold right now. Your defense, you got Michael Parsons. Now, I understand you had some injuries to Michael Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence. I get that.
Yeah, that hurt.
All right? But still, you did not address what was the issue at the end of last season.
Nothing. Didn't do nothing.
Mike. Nothing. What did you do in the offseason to address the fact that you got a porous, you got to play in front? If you have an offense that plays in front of the Dallas Cowboys, your defense is made to get after the quarterback. Your defense is made to rush the quarterback. And why do you rush the quarterback? Because they got to pass the ball. And why would they pass the ball? Because the team is behind. Well, you haven't been behind.
Yeah, we got a defense meant for a lead.
You have a defense meant to go after the quarterback when they're behind because they're passing the football. Mm-hmm. If you got strong running games, which teams have known, like, we're going to run against this light-ass defense. Y'all light in the ass. That's what they say. You know, that's what they say, light in the ass, right? For so sure. They can run against that defense, and that's what they've been doing. Green Bay showed you the blueprint last year. And then how bad are you at home this year, bro? You have not won a home game this year. Yeah. You used to dominate teams at home before the loss against Green Bay. You dominated teams at home. I think it was 16 in a row, 16-1 or whatnot. And then you lose Green Bay and you have not won a home game this year. And oh, by the way, you have not just lost every home game. You've gotten blown out and been behind by at least 20 points in every one of your home games this year. And you're blaming curtains? You're blaming the sun?
Drapes.
You're blaming drapes? Come on, man. Dallas Cowboys, number 2 on that list. But my number one disappointing team in the National Football League so far this year, the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati Bengals, 4-7 on the season. I know Bengals last year, you know, it went great. But you got Joe Burrow back. He was healthy. You got one of the best receivers in the National Football League. You got an offense that's potent. You got a man right there in Joe Burrow who right now, if this team was 7-4, he'd be the front runner for the MVP. Having an outstanding season. I know Lamar Jackson is up there right now, but Cincinnati, that offense is not the problem. The defense has been issue. That has been an issue. But out of the 4 wins, guess who you beating? You beating the Panthers, you beating the Giants, the Browns, and the Raiders. 4 teams that have got a combined 9 wins this season. So the Cincinnati Bengals, you deserve to be the most disappointing team.
Do you think we need one more?
Yeah,
all right, we'll get one more.
One more. Yeah, thank you, George. You want one, one more? I got an honorable mention for you.
Okay.
The 4-6 Miami Dolphins. Disappointing. Mm. Honorable mention. That's one outside the top 5. This one, and I understand
circumstances,
Tua. I understand
Mike,
Tua. I get that. But say, hey, injuries happen in the National Football League, right?
True that.
Do injuries happen in the National Football League?
Yep.
All right. Quarterbacks get injured all the time.
A hamstring ended my season.
That's why. Was there expectations for the Dolphins this year?
True.
Yes.
Right? Tua, you paid Tua or whatnot. You know, there was 2 years ago, you was wondering if Tua could be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Now you see how valuable he is. But one thing about the NFL and what every team needs to have, you got to have a serviceable backup. And because the Dolphins did not have a serviceable backup, they can't win. They got this fast team. You got Hill having the worst season of his career, going back to his rookie season. You got weapons all around, and you're just 4-6 on the season. So that's why I put the Dolphins on the outside looking in as the 6th most disappointing team in the National Football League. So a recap, 5 is San Francisco, 4 Chicago Bears, 3 the New York Jets, 2 the Dallas Cowboys, 1 the Cincinnati Bengals.
Boom!
There you go.
Boom!
What do you think?
I like it. I would add the Jets first.
You would add the Jets first?
Yeah.
Just because of Aaron Rodgers and all the hype that was around him?
Sure. The thing about the Bengals is that Joe Burrow is playing elite.
Yeah.
He's not getting a lot of help around him, especially on defense.
I mean, but still, 4-7. The record is what it is.
True.
And so, overall, that's the team.
I don't think anyone had the Bengals in the Super Bowl, though.
Bengals, you know, they were, because Joe Burrow was coming back. I think because of Joe Burrow. And then, like I said, the expectations for me for the Jets, because the Jets got the longest playoff drought of any team in the National Football League.
Sports, right?
I mean, but 15 years?
Yeah.
It's been 15 years. And once again, you're relying on a 40-year-old quarterback coming back from an Achilles injury to get the job done.
Reasonable people could have seen what was coming.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying my disappointment level isn't as high because I ain't expect nothing out of the damn Jets. It's the Jets.
True.
It's the Jets. I got a guy that's coming in. He's from New York, but he's not a Jets fan. He's a Steelers fan.
Okay.
Very funny comedian. One of my good friends here in the L.A. area is going to join me coming up next. Tony Rock is on the show. Stick around, Rich Eisen Show.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
Get in zone.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix Finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah, I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
What's great, man, are these, you know, we do a lot of NFL, NBA shows on Family Feud for celebrity.
Right.
It's great, man, when regular people discover that celebrities don't know nothing. They don't. You think because a person is famous, they know more. They actually know less.
Yeah.
They know less than anybody else because they're exposed to less. Rich people don't know how much milk costs. You get out of touch, man. And when they come on Celebrity Family Feud, you find out how out of touch they are. They don't know anything, man. Like, one of the questions for the NFL team was, and we were asking a guy running back for the Packers, can't think of his name, but the question was, complete the sentence, strip, and you spoke, you know, like strip mall,
strip
poker.
Strip sack. This could be even
strip sack. Yeah. I said, name, complete the word strip. He said, purr. Strip purr. I went, hold on, man. I quit breathing. How is that your point of reference to complete the word strip? Purr. P-E-R. That was it. I was done. That was one of my great moments.
And again, you just walk away and you realize it in the moment, like, okay, this is it, and I'm going to let this thing go.
Hey, after the show, he asked me, he said, Steve, is there any way we could edit that out? I said, sir, we're not editing that out. Matter of fact, we're going to embellish it. You're going to say purr so loud. Purr.
Mike Hill back on the Rich Eisen Show, filling in for Rich today on the radio network. I got to put my glass. I can't see, man. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. You know, anyway, I still look good with the glasses on, don't you think?
Yeah.
I look good with the glasses on. Y'all ain't answering the damn question.
I said, yeah.
Okay, damn. Like, give me some love. Tony Ron's going to give me some love.
That's yes,
my
yes.
guy.
Yes. Yes. What's up,
actor,
brother?
Comedian.
Oh.
Hilarious guy. One
thank
of my
you,
good
thank
friends
you.
Out here, man. First of all, I appreciate you, brother. I really do.
Well, I hope you know the esteem that I hold you in, because I know I need a haircut and a shave, but you called and I'm like, I'll be on TV looking like this for Mike Hill.
No, you look good, man. You look good.
Nah,
man.
Look at this, man. I'm all messed up.
I've been rocking with you for a long time, man. Long before I even came out there. LA, and then when I came to LA, I was like happy that you knew who I was, bro.
Come on, I'm funny. A big super incredible sports fan.
You're a huge fan. I like remember you did a bit on stage one time when I was in the audience, and you was talking about how you was watching me one time with, you know, you was with somebody.
I was with somebody.
You was yeah. You were in the mix or something like that, and you was watching, and you was like na na na.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny back then. You big sports fan though, man.
Yes,
huge sports. Most
Steelers, baby.
Most comedians I know are huge sports fans.
Yeah, most comedians had aspirations to play some type of sport on some level.
Did you?
I did. I played everything. I played because I have older brothers. So my one brother played baseball. I just played baseball to just be able to hang out with him.
Uh-huh.
My other older brother played basketball. I played basketball to be able to hang out with him. Had another brother played semi-pro football. I played football to be able to hang out with him.
Okay.
So I just wanted to be down with my brothers so bad that I was like, whatever they're into, I'm going to be into it.
All right. Now, you great at comedy. Were you good at sports?
I am, yes. Yes. Okay. I was good at sports. I'm very good. I was a super shortstop.
Super shortstop.
Super shortstop.
What does a super shortstop entail?
I was just very good for my age.
Okay.
My mother has a picture. I wish I could find it. We played Little League football, and my mother has a picture of myself and my brother Chris standing in the kitchen, and he's holding a championship trophy from Little League.
Okay.
And I'm holding the second place team for my division in Little League.
Okay.
And we both won like that summer.
So like on the show, Everybody Hates Chris.
Yes.
Remember he had his little brother?
I'm Drew, yeah.
You're Drew.
Yeah.
And Drew was always better at sports and everything else. Was yes. that true?
Or that's
you,
very true.
You was the
you
one
see else? It, man. You see it.
I love it, man. And so you're a huge Steelers fan.
Yes. Because right. when I played Little League football, we wore black and yellow.
Okay.
And I thought that was a farm system for the Steelers. I thought you play here and then they come and get you and take you to the Steelers.
Didn't quite work
I'm
out.
I'm just
that
waiting
way.
Around like, Mom, when they come to get me, make sure that you let me know that I'm let them know I'm here when the Steelers come to get me.
So what years were that? What era was that when you was
late Steel Curtain? I remember like some of the guys. I remember Terry Bradshaw and
wow, man, we're going back that far.
Yeah, I remember my guy when I played when we used to play and I would always like throw around, you know, you say you're somebody, like I'm making a catch. I would always quarterback and say, hey, I'm Bubby Brister.
Bubby
I would
Brister.
Literally be in the street like, yo, I'm Bubby Brister. And mm-hmm. all my friends are like, who the hell is Bubby Brister?
Bubby Brister, number
like, he's
six.
The starting quarterback for the Steelers. Yeah,
I remember that back in the day. So the Steelers having a good season this year.
Very good season.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you joke around with other comedians about, you know, your team, you guys?
Oh, yeah, of course we all do that.
Are you in a fantasy league and everything like that too?
No, I don't. I'm such a Steelers fan. I don't play fantasy because I would pick the Steelers defense. I would pick Russell Wilson. I would pick George Pickens. I only care about my team.
Okay.
So I don't play fantasy.
And so you're happy with Russell Wilson and what he's been able to bring to the
I'm
team?
I'm very happy. 4-0.
Mm-hmm. And you look at the Ravens out there. You also look at other teams, obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills.
Yes, yes.
A lot of people saying the Steelers are the best team in the AFC right now. What do you think?
I think we're going to get them on Christmas Day. I think the Steelers are going to beat the Chiefs on Christmas Day.
You think?
I feel very good about our chances.
Okay, you feel very good. How far do you think the Steelers can go this year?
I think we're going to win the division.
Okay. Over the Ravens. Okay.
I checked the numbers last night. They said if we win this game against Cleveland, our chances of winning the division are, I believe, 70%.
Mm-hmm.
And if we lose, it's like maybe 52.
And you have owned the Ravens.
And we own the Ravens.
You got the tiebreaker, right?
We got one.
Yeah, got one, right? Right now, 82-74.
I think we can beat Cleveland twice.
Well, yeah, you should.
I think we can beat the Bengals twice.
Yep. The Bengals got a good offense. I mean, yeah.
KC, Philly's going to be tough. But other than that, you know.
Okay, so
I like
so
our chances. Like
two more losses this season, so we're talking about 13-4.
That would be sweet.
AFC North Division champions looking at, you know.
Now you got to come play us.
You got to go.
Right?
Pittsburgh.
You got to come to
does
Pittsburgh.
Does Mike Tomlin get enough credit for the job he does with the Steelers?
From me, he does, but I got a few friends that feel otherwise.
Steeler fans.
Yeah.
What do they don't like about Mike Tomlin?
One of my friends, my man Shah, he just thinks he thinks he's been there. So you know how certain coaches have been there so long, they feel like the message is being lost now. Because
okay.
It's like the same message over and over again. They need an injection of new energy and stuff like that.
All he does is win, though.
I'm riding with him.
It's the teeny weeny afro, ain't it? That's probably what it
I'm
is.
I'm riding with Tomlin. That's my guy. Tomlin that is my guy. Them.
So also other sports, you're a Mets fan.
Mets, yes.
Mets.
Very close to getting Juan Soto.
You're not,
if we get Juan Soto, it's a wrap.
TJ, okay.
You said stop?
Yeah.
We're not getting them?
He's a Yankee fan, Tony.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm a Yankee fan, too.
Oh, are you really? Juan Soto's not a Yankee. Juan Soto's he's just like, I'll go biggest check, we'll have check, we'll travel.
Yeah. Gun for hire. Gun for
hire. He's a mercenary right now. Yeah. And that's cool. No, he can go to the Mets. I said, as long as he goes to the Mets, he can't go to the Dodgers or the Red Sox. But he goes to the Mets, it don't matter. Because y'all not going to win anyway. I'm just like saying, like.
If we get Juan Soto. What did we sign? We signed somebody yesterday, a right-handed pitcher from Boston. Hegeman.
Doesn't make a difference. Not gonna make a difference. Not gonna make a difference.
Yeah, listen, if we get Juan Soto.
You better keep Pete Alonso too.
Oh, we definitely keep him. So Alonso's a lifer. Alonso's the new David Wright. He's a lifer.
So you guys had an all-star cast 2 years ago. And what happened? You basically gave the entire team away. You used to trade the entire team away. And you was thinking about having a wholesale change before Grimace saved your season last year.
Hey, man.
Last season.
We're not talking about the past. We're living in the present going forward.
That's exactly what I tried to tell this guy.
Right?
Why are you bringing up old stuff? We're talking about today.
Who's your football team?
Giants. You're a Giant, but I stick with my team.
Okay.
Before the end of the show, here's the thing. I got a bet with TJ. I got this thing with TJ. We just did a contract.
Okay.
TJ's a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan.
Woo!
Out of all of his teams. Like, he's a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan.
I told him. Said out of all his
and
teams.
He's trying to get rid of the Cowboys. And he said that Rich won't allow him to leave the Cowboys. And I said, here's one thing we're going to do. I said, you can leave the Cowboys right now. We're going to allow you to leave. You got to sign a contract that you can't come back for 5 years.
Did you sign the contract?
Well, Tony, I got the contract right here, dog. And I'm mulling it over, as they say. I got to have my people, like.
Wait, what were they on your list of top five most disappointing? They were three? Cowboys. Cowboys should be number one because of the.
No, they were number two. They were number two.
Cowboys should be number one because of the incredible enthusiasm you guys have every year.
That's every year.
Every year. This is the year. Here we go.
I feel like this is just
every year.
Groundhog Day.
That's why you should be number one. They should be number one.
Don't they get on your nerves?
I hate Cowboy fans, and I very much dislike Laker fans.
Why do you dislike Laker fans?
Because Laker fans, you only see them when the Lakers are winning.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
When the Lakers suck, you wouldn't even know who a Laker fan is.
Exactly.
You wouldn't even know. You all could be Laker fans right now, wouldn't have no idea. If they were on a 10-game winning streak, you guys would be all be purple and yellow, and this is the year.
Isn't that about L.A., though? L.A.'s kind of like that. L.A., because even Dodger fans, right? Like, I didn't see a lot of Dodger jerseys around here until this year.
Oh,
even
though the Dodgers
have you been to East L.A.?
No.
Have you been to East L.A.?
I know it's a Dodger town, just like it's a Lakers town, right? But I didn't see all these Dodger hats they're wearing now and the jerseys they're wearing now. I didn't see as many.
A lot of those car stickers, that's how you know. There's a lot of L.A. Dodgers, like Raiders and L.A. Dodgers.
No, I'm not saying that the fans are here. Definitely they are here, but I'm talking about they're not as vocal until you start.
Well, I think once playoffs start, then people that are just casual fans get more excited about it because now it's further into the season.
Yeah.
You know?
I want to talk about your comedy career, man. I think you're one of the most funniest guys out there.
I'm the people's champ.
You are the people's champ, man. I really do believe that. You know, I know you're Chris's brother, whatnot, man, but you made a name of your own, Tony.
Thank you, sir.
And I like that. I mean, like, I've been watching you since you were on, what's that show that you and Dwayne did back
All
in
of
the
us.
Day? All of us with Lisa Ray and all that. Yeah, I thought you was funny back then. Then your stand-up is hilarious. If you get a chance to see Tony Rock, Wherever he is in concert or on the stage, go check him out. Your crowd work is phenomenal.
Yes,
man.
Thank you.
How big is crowd work these days? You know, I just started comedy about a year ago, and I'm hearing, like, crowd work is phenomenal. I think you're one of the top five that I've seen when it comes to crowd work.
There's been a shift now in comedy because it used to be all about written material.
Mm-hmm.
But now, because everybody lives in social media and they want to see stuff fast, being able to do crowd work and show people you can do it on the spot is the new thing. It's the new it thing.
Uh-huh.
And if you have that ability, it is definitely a check.
Has that always worked for you?
Interesting story. When I got bumped up from feature to headliner, I didn't have enough material to go from feature to headliner.
Oh, really?
That's going from doing 20 minutes a set to an hour.
Right.
I didn't have the extra 40 minutes. But it's like being called up to the majors. You can't say, hey, I'm not ready to go yet. I got to still work on the curveball. You got to go when they call you.
Right.
And if you go and you don't produce, you get sent back down, and you might not ever get the chance again.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got bumped up to headliner, I didn't have the material, I would do 5 minutes of written material and 10 minutes of crowd work.
Okay.
And another 5 minutes of material and 10 minutes of crowd work. And I would end with like my biggest bit just to end on a high note. But when I did the 10 minutes of crowd work, I had to find something every time to sustain me. Because if I had to go to written material early, I wouldn't finish. I'd finish early. I wouldn't have enough time. So I would go in the room and, you know, how long you guys been together and what's going on here and you guys married. And thank the Lord, I would always find something to give me 10 minutes of crowd work. That's how I got so strong at it.
Is there a key to that? Do you listen to other comedians interact with the crowd and you just kind of come back to them, or do you
No. Okay. It's just seeing it. You see, like, you know, one time I was on stage, two guys and a woman sitting in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? This looks like an interesting pairing. The lady said, "This is my ex-husband, and this is his new husband."
Oh. Whoa.
Now that's 30 minutes of material right there. That's 30 minutes. Wait, you divorced him and he married him. Okay, I know where I'm going to be for the next 20 minutes of my set. We'll be right here. So you just got to be able to see stuff. You see, like, the couple that's not sitting together but sitting at the same table. You know, mm-hmm. What's going on here? Oh, we had an argument in the car. Okay, well, tell me about it, you know?
Right.
It's like being a therapist on the spot.
How do you know to stay on that crowd? Like sometimes it could work out because they're interacting, they're into it, they're funny, they came to laugh or whatever. Sometimes you can get on somebody and you can touch a nerve.
You have to be concerned with the overkill also. Like, if you're on it and you're getting the laugh, okay, it's fun, the room is vibing. And then some comics just go too far. They just keep going. And the room's like, all right, already. We heard. Okay. She divorced the guy and married the guy. All right. We got it. Like, move on. So you get enough to get the room going, get them up, and then you slide off to something
else. When's the last time you went too far?
I don't believe I can go too far, but I've gotten into back and forths with people during the election, you know, over who they were voting for. And then, of course, they would say, you know, they're voting for Trump. And then it's, I want to tell you my political views. And I'm like, no, this is not the forum for that. I just wanted to have fun with you.
Right.
Now you want to take it as make a stance.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what I was trying to do. I was just trying to engage and have some fun. So that, it's not going too far, but it gets serious.
And I'm asking that because we live in a PC world. Like, you know, stand-up comedy isn't what it used to be. You just go out there and you joke. You can say anything you want
to. This is the last place you can say something like, along the lines of what can be considered, you know,
is it coming back now? I mean, because like now that Trump is in office, like everything shouldn't be on.
it's really coming back now.
Right?
No, but this is the last stand-up comedy. That stage is the last place in the world where you can kind of get away with it.
Uh-huh.
A woman walks in wearing something. You're like, damn, look at this. You couldn't say that anywhere else in the world.
Have you ever had a situation where somebody wanted to talk to you after the show?
Absolutely.
Or like I'm talking about talk to you. Tell me about it.
A Laugh Factory one night. This is so crazy. Laugh Factory one night, group of guys to my right, group of guys to my left, all Mexican guys. I'm making fun of them. They're cool. They loving it. Oh, man, this guy, you crazy. Look at it. Brothers like, hey, why y'all not laughing? And I start making fun of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all affiliated.
Oh, okay.
They were affiliated. Oh, yeah. And show's over, and they were outside waiting for me.
Mm.
And were throwing up the signs, and, yo, we won't talk to you, cuz, and all that.
What?
And the Mexican dudes were like, hey, with those, they're from whatever street. We know them.
Okay.
Our gang doesn't get along with their gang. We got your back.
So you became an essay.
And I'm like, I was an essay for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, hey, we don't have to do this. We don't have to do this. Let's not do this.
Wow.
And they went outside and talked to the guys, and they were like, just tell them to come out. And I came out. And this is like maybe my first month in Los Angeles.
Wow.
I didn't know how serious that whole thing was.
Wow.
And I came outside and the guys were like, hey, man, listen, we heard you say you're from New York. We don't play that out here. We don't play the whole making fun of how we dance and the signs and all that. We're letting you know now.
Uh-huh.
This will be a problem going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you got
it. Lesson learned. You never did it again.
You got it.
Never. Are comics, because at the beginning of the year, it seemed like all the black comics kind of coming for each other. It just seemed like it was like a lot. It started off with Cat and everything.
The
and
remnants
everything.
Of the Cat Williams interview.
Is it going back to normal now? Is it because I was like, I just started doing comedy. Do I want to do this? Like, I don't want to start.
It was just, the interview was just, you know, it was a powerful interview.
Mm-hmm.
And Cat pulled no punches and said what he said. And every black comic watched it and was like, please, Lord, don't let him say my name. I watched the whole thing like this. Okay, he didn't say my name yet. So I'm like, woof, when it was over, woof.
Right.
But, it's getting back to normal. It's just, it was a conversation. He was unfiltered. And, you know, some guys felt some kind of way. But some of the stuff he said was pretty accurate. If you in the comedy world, some of the stuff he said, we know was accurate.
Right.
So we didn't feel too much of a way.
One thing, a lot of Tony and I, I've been knowing for a while, we was actually going to try and put a show together.
Did you stop trying to put a show together?
It's a show that we want to put together that's along those lines, man, when it comes to like storytelling. I think you guys tell the best stories out of anybody in the history of just
it's, like, the show sells itself because every comic is into sports. So we could have a show, something like this, and then comics come on and do material about sports.
About sports. Let's do it, man. Roku, y'all need an extra, you know, show.
Let's go, man.
Let's talk.
Now we're talking.
This definitely is to make this snap. I was going to ask you about your brother a little bit. Because I saw an interview that you did, and this kind of touched me a little bit because, you know, DL's my cousin, right?
Yeah, so yes, I remember that.
And DL, I started doing stand-up, and I ain't trying to put him on blast or anything like that, but I haven't received any help from DL, which in a way, I look at it and I say, okay, well, DL's not helping me. I got to do this on my own. I got to navigate these waters. I'm trying to make this transition out there. I saw something where you did an interview. He was talking about First Five, I believe he did.
No, I did. It was my podcast. I have a podcast called Live from the Green Room, and we had Ari Spears on, and Ari Spears said, hey, can I ask you a question? This is something I've always wanted to ask. How come Eddie doesn't put Charlie in a lot of his movies? Mm-hmm. How come Chris doesn't put you in a lot of his movies? And I was trying to explain it to everybody, but you got to realize sometimes people that are watching don't understand how the business works.
Right.
So the story was that I was supposed to be in the movie Top Five.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I was in New York. I was touring, but I had a weekend off, so I went home. I saw my brother at a comedy club. Hey, man, shooting a movie. I'm going to put you in it. That was the conversation right there. Mm-hmm. Shooting a movie. I'll send you all the info. You're in it. Okay, cool. Do I have to call somebody? No, we'll get you all the info. Mm. Now, I continued with my tour, not thinking really too much about it. I just knew I'll get a phone call at some point. And then people started calling me saying, hey, we're on the set. Where are you? Because it was in New York. So all my friends, hey, we're on the set. Are you here today? I didn't get a phone call yet. But I continued my tour until the phone call came.
Mm-hmm.
Then a young lady, a friend of mine, was, hey, babe, I'm shooting a scene with your brother today. I'm on the show, on the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Are you here? Wow, I didn't get a phone call yet. Now, I could have called my brother and said,
yeah, why didn't you?
But I was on tour, and I was like, I'm not stopping my tour until I get the phone call.
Okay.
And normally, what the protocol is, you get a phone call from production.
Right.
Hey, this is so-and-so from production. We got to get your sizes, or we got to get you in for wardrobe, because you're going to start on this day.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting for that phone call. It never came. The movie shot, wrapped. People will call me from the rap party. Are you here?
Wow.
But the entire time, I was on tour, so I didn't lose any money.
Right.
People heard me say that in the interview, like I was standing on the stoop waiting for the phone call. I was making a lot of money the whole time,
right?
But the phone call never came. My brother doesn't owe me anything.
Mm-hmm.
In this life, you will learn that people don't owe you anything. People do because they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I never entered the business thinking, well, because I got my brother, I'm going to skip the line. No, that's not how we were never raised like that. We were raised like the oldest brothers like my oldest brother got a job first. My dad would say, okay, you got paid on Friday. Give all your brothers $5.
Okay.
Then my next brother got a job. Give all your brothers $5. But that was when we were kids. Now we're all able-bodied citizens that can take care of ourselves. We all have our own homes and cars and families to take care of. My brother doesn't owe me anything. It just was an incident where now everybody on the back end after the interview, well, why didn't you go show up on the set? Why didn't you call? I could have done all of that. You're right.
Right.
But I was busy on tour, and I just thought, okay, when they're ready, they'll call me.
See, that's what I admire about you, though, because you've done
I'm
it on
my
your
own man.
And once again, you're your own man. Like, I know that you're Chris's brother, or whatever, but I've always looked at you as an individual. You're doing it on your own, man. And sometimes you just don't need the help or you don't want the help.
Right.
And sometimes that makes you even better because you work harder for it.
Okay, so when I first started doing stand up, I knew. I started in New York. I started in the same comedy club my brother started at.
Mm-hmm.
Same club Eddie started, same club Adam started, Paul Reiser. I would see every comic coming through those doors back in the day. And when I started, I said, I don't want to lose any credibility with my peers.
Mm.
So I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, he didn't do the open mics. His brother just got him in. Because then when you're around a bunch of comics, they're telling their stories. It's like, no, this doesn't pertain to you. You didn't do it this way. So I always wanted to be the guy that went the traditional route.
Right.
You know, open mics, bringer shows, barking for an audience, hosting a show, not getting paid, getting paid in free drinks. I did the same exact thing every other comic did.
Mm-hmm.
My brother had nothing to do with it. of course, as a kid, when he started, he would always say, you're the funny one. You should be doing stand-up. He would tell people in interviews. To this day, he still tells people, hey, Tone's the funny one.
Tony's hilarious.
Tone's the funny one.
Yeah.
So that's all I really need from him is just when people say my name, just, yeah, he's the guy.
That's an endorsement that you need, man. Yeah. Tone Rock, man. That's why I love you, man. That's why I think I admire and respect you, man. And I know they're going bigger and better places,
thank
man.
You, sir.
And I know you're doing great things right now. Stick around because I want to endorse what you got coming up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We got one more break to come, and then we're going to wrap up the show right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/Westwood One.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. and TJ Jefferson bring their unique take on sports entertainment with no contest wrestling, with guests like Swerve Strickland.
Why do you use staples like sensu beans, man?
No, it was just something, the concept I came up with. It's an instrument used to punish. It's just finding those common items. If you see them, you automatically think back to me in that moment. So it's one of those things I wanted to just implement in like my whole character, being the most dangerous man in AEW.
The No Contest Wrestling Podcast, part of the Rich Eisen Podcast Network, wherever you listen.
What was going through your head when David Baker appeared all of a sudden, Bill?
You know, I had absolutely no idea. And the ironic part of it was that I sat down that morning with my wife, Veronica. You know, I talked about it. I said, I don't think I'm going to get in, and I'm okay with it. I almost put some closure on it. And I was okay. You know, when I came in, no one really said anything. We weren't discussing it. I thought, well, that's being pretty professional. I appreciated them kind of like giving me my space from it all. And I was getting ready to do an eye vision with Phil Sims and talking about Lamar Jackson. And next thing I turn around and I see David Baker, and we all know what he stands for. And it just was a lot of things trying to process at the time. It's kind of why I thought this isn't the way I thought this was going to be. I thought I was going to get a call that says, hey, you know, you were close, but you didn't get in. And we'd all find out on Tuesday night or something because it's going to air on Wednesday. And it was almost surreal. And it's so funny. I sat back and watched Jimmy Johnson. The same thing happened to him on the halftime of the second game on Sunday after he got home. And I know exactly what he was feeling. As a matter of fact, I had to put out a tweet. And the first thing I thought about is, you know, did Adam Sandler really know that he had two future Hall of Fame players watching Bobby Boucher and the water park? And Jimmy Johnson and I were down there, and I remember Jimmy and I, this is like 1997, 98, whatever it was. And Adam actually, I think, has since then retweeted. I said, but we're talking about Boogie Boos, Bobby Boucher, and he's saying he's like Zach Taylor. I go, no, he's like Greg Lloyd. And he goes, whatever. And so it's going to be really, really kind of fun to kind of get reunited with Jimmy over that little one.
That's fantastic, Bill. I mean, that is just great.
A lot of good sports action going on right now. And, of course, you can watch the games on television or you can go to the game itself. You can go to Game Time Picks to get the games you want to see there. Of course, NFL, college games wrapping up season, NHL, of course, the NBA, and full-fledged out with going action. Take the guesswork, though, out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account. Use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.com for details. Again, create an account and redeem code spell out RICH for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Who? He was Tony Rock, great comedian, Steelers fan.
Yes, sir.
Mets fan.
Yes, sir.
Basketball team?
Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn Nets. We're not going to talk about them. nothing to talk about right now. Brooklyn I do want to talk about your podcast you got going on right now. You're talking about some great. Yes. I was on your podcast, a guest on your podcast. And I like what you're doing over there with Joe Fox.
Joe Fox and Trey Elliott.
And Trey Elliott doing a great job over there. And you got a special out right now.
Live from the Green Room is the podcast. Make sure you guys check it out. And my special is called Rock the World. It's out on streaming platforms. Fully financed by myself. Shopped it, couldn't get the deal. Shot it. As soon as I shot it, they saw it. They offered me the money.
So you like the Jay-Z of the comedy
I'm Jay-Z.
World.
It's my reasonable doubt.
Yes. Sometimes you got to do that, man. You got to bet on yourself, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now the beautiful thing about that is now that I know the formula, I really don't need them now. I can do it again myself and do it the same way I did it before.
And make more money.
Yeah.
You see more comics doing it because I've seen a lot of comics like financing their own specials now, not waiting for the Netflixes of the world to come.
Because the streaming platforms are looking for content and they want to beat out other platforms on, you know, we have this thing that nobody else has.
Mm-hmm.
So they, if it's quality product, they're going to buy it. And then Netflix is like, damn, we should have got it. Or Hulu's like, we should have got it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, streaming platforms is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, bro. And very funny.
I'm going to shoot again. I'm probably going to shoot again in about maybe February.
How do you know when you have, when you know, hey, I'm ready for a special? How do you know that? How do you know this
The first one is your whole career.
Okay.
The first special is your whole career from the day you started. You have the material.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get that done, the excitement of doing the first one, as soon as it's over, you're like, I got to do that again. It's the high of highs. Like being on stage is a high. You know this.
Yeah.
But shooting a special when it's over is the high of all highs.
Okay.
And you're like, I definitely want to do this again.
Right, man. Hey, who do you like as a comedian? Who's your favorite stand-up comic right now?
Dave Chappelle, my brother. Living, what are we doing?
Just all time.
Carlin. I still watch Carlin.
George
I still watch
Carlin.
Pryor.
Yeah.
I still watch Patrice O'Neill. May they all rest in peace. Dave Chappelle, my brother. So many people. I like my guy right now is Nate Bargatze.
Okay, he's hilarious.
Nate Bargatze is my guy right now.
Yeah. Is there a comic like? Because I say you like you got a name because you know Rock name obviously Tony Rock whatever, and I want to just have you be up there when it comes to the Chris Rocks of the world. Dave Chappelle. You're just as funny. You really are, and I mean that. You know I don't blow smoke up nobody. You know that, bro. Is there a comic that's out there that you're looking at and says, man, he needs a little bit more attention?
Being biased, I'd say Jordan Rock.
And that's your brother.
My baby brother. Yeah, Jordan Rock's super funny. About us, I'd say Jordan, Reg Thomas.
I think comedian CP deserves a little
CP.
CP's hilarious.
Yeah, Chelsea Perry.
Chelsea, okay.
John Grimes.
Okay.
Quite a few names that I see, you know, like, okay.
And thanks for giving them the platform, man. Yeah. Appreciate you. I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Thanks for having me, man. You know, anytime, man, you call them.
It's Tony Rock, man. Yeah.
That was great.
Doing this thing, bro.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Had a good time, as always, bro.
Super fun. Let's do it again tomorrow.
We will do it again tomorrow. I got to get up early in the morning. I guess I got to go to sleep tonight then.
Got to go get some sleep, man.
At some point.
You performing this weekend somewhere?
I am in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the Improv. The weekend after that, I am in Boston, Laughs Boston. And then I'm going on vacation for a little while, going to the Cayman Islands.
Uh-oh.
Recharge my battery, work on this tan, and then come back and do it all over again.
Hey, bro.
Charleston, you know, I love you.
I need to work on my tan, too. TJ, did you sign a contract?
Come on, TJ.
You know, after giving this much consideration and pulling out the official plume pen, the feather pen, TJ, if you leave the Dallas Cowboys, you can't come back until the 2030 season. I can't do it.
I can't do it. Brockman, thank you. Del Tufo, thank
Great
you.
Great job, Mike.
TJ, thank you. Tony, thank you.
Thank
Appreciate
you,
everybody who came on the show. Mike Hill, we will see you again tomorrow morning right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Rich, Jameis has taken the Browns to the playoffs.
Dude, why can't they win 7-8 games to finish the year?
Why not?
I'm not saying there's no why not, but this is a definitive statement that's clearly an overreaction and is perfect fodder for a show like this one. I appreciate you coming out of the gate hot. Come react or overreact with us. Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen. It's game over.
Over, man.